Wow, awesome. Got two Christmas songs out of Jacob. Isn't that something? I'm proud of you, Jacob. I know that's hard for you, buddy. So today is the second week of the Advent season. It is the day when we light the candle of peace. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to be looking at John 14 and John 16 this morning. We'll start in John chapter 16. It's just one verse, one short yet profound verse, verse 33. It says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So last week when we talked about hope, we said that our hope was a person, right? And how on that first Christmas morning, our hope was born. He was given to us as a promise that heaven and earth could be together again. And in that promise, we can find peace. It's offered. Jesus wants us to have it, but it's not guaranteed. What is guaranteed is trouble. I know. Jesus says he told his friends these things so that in him, wow, you're good.
I'm going to move this thing out. Okay.
Jesus said he told his friends these things so that in him they may have peace. They really could have peace. But in the world, they will have tribulation. So peace is offered, but trouble is promised. And at first, that sounds kind of confusing. I mean, how can we have the potential for peace if we have a certainty of conflict? Because we tend to think that not having conflict is having peace. And I think Jesus would say, no. No, that's not the right way to think about that. Jesus told his friends in chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You see, if we believe that we can have peace just by avoiding difficulties and conflict, well, that's the world's peace. That's not Jesus' peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. I'm leaving it with you. In other words, his peace is present. It's always there. His peace isn't something we can have just as long as we don't have something else. That's the world's peace. That's not Jesus' peace. And having the world's peace is easy. If we'll just distract ourselves long enough or structure our lives in a way that allows us to avoid seeing or hearing anything that might trigger us, well, that's the peace the world offers. It's an eyes closed, safe space only type of peace. But that's not the peace Jesus wants us to have. That's cheap peace. It's thin and it breaks easy. What Jesus wants us to have is shalom. Shalom is a very rich and profound Hebrew word. It gets translated peace in the Old Testament, and it can mean the absence of conflict. But when it's used in that context, when the conflict is removed, something much better is put in its place. For example, in the Old Testament, when nations or tribes were at war with each other, sometimes the wars ended because they just agreed to stop fighting each other. That's the world's peace. Other times they agreed to make shalom, which meant not only did they agree to stop hurting each other, they also agreed that moving forward they would work together for each other's benefit. That's Jesus' peace. It's an eyes wide open, engaged but not overwhelmed type of peace. The word shalom literally means complete or wholeness. It can be a verb, like with warring armies coming together, or it can be a noun, like when Jesse sent his young son David to check on his older brothers who were off fighting with Saul's army. Jesse wanted David to find out about their shalom. It wasn't a simple, hey, y'all good? You need anything? It was a heartfelt concern. He's like, hey, are y'all okay? Are y'all well? There's a difference between the two. Bringing shalom is what King Solomon means in Proverbs 16 when he talks about healing and reconciling broken human relationships. It's taking what is broken and making it as it should be. And that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to restore. He wants to make all of life as it should be. And Jesus did that by dying to pay the penalty for our sins, but also he did that by living. By living the life that all of us were meant to live. A life of obedience to the Father and faithfulness to his mission. Romans 5:1 says that since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is primary for the peace seeker. Faith is the vehicle that Jesus uses to carry us to the Father, to reconcile us with him. Like our friend Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." This is super important, y'all. God restores us so that we can then help restore others. This ministry of reconciling sinners to the Father by sharing with them the person and work of Jesus Christ is a ministry that God invites all of his followers to participate in. It's one that a lot of us neglect, myself included. It's a pay it forward type of thing. God saves us and he wants us to help people who are far away from him to find their way back to him so they can have Jesus's peace too. And I know that people can be frustrating and annoying, okay? Believe me, I get it. But I also know that I'm a people too. And I can be annoying and I can be frustrating, but God still moves towards me. I'm going to tell you all a story about how bad people can be, okay? This happened yesterday. Me and Lori and Abby were on the loop going to town, and all of a sudden traffic just stops. They had part of the loop closed down up ahead, right? Well, then we hear sirens behind us. Fire trucks are coming in. We saw three of them. Well, as everybody's trying to get off to the side of the road to let the fire engine through, the fire engine comes through. Guess who's behind them? People trying to ride the fire truck to get ahead of all the traffic. You should have heard Abby. And I mean, it's just, and she, we're in agreement. That's why we don't like people, because they do stuff like that. How rude is that? There was one little GMC something with a handicap tag just in the middle of the road because they got to a point where they couldn't go any further. They're just sitting in the middle of the road. They're taking up both lanes of the loop because they wanted to hot ride this fire engine all the way through the track. But you know what? Jesus still loves that person. He still pursues us. And as his ministers of reconciliation, we need to be willing to move toward people who do things like that because we're doing it for him and we're helping to bring them close to him. Because if you do that, obviously, you don't know the Lord. Remember, blessed are the peacemakers, right? That's what Jesus said. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit they shall be called the sons of God. And let me just say one more thing related to this before we move on to John 14. When Jesus died to save you, okay, Jesus knew exactly who he was giving his life for. All right? He's never had buyer's remorse. He's never wished he could do things over. Jesus loves you. Okay? He really loves you. He loves you hard and strong, and he wants good for you. And the biggest obstacle for us receiving all the good that he wants to give us a lot of times is us. We like to blame people who hot ride behind fire engines, but a lot of times it's us. And I know for me, like when I fall back into sin or I fail to pursue Jesus the way I should, or maybe I shrink back from being a peacemaker because I just don't want to deal with people. Well, it's real easy for me to kind of move away from Jesus. It's more like a drift. It's not a run. It's just a drift. I kind of drift away from Jesus. I'm just being honest. It's like the shame I feel because I haven't been doing the things that I know I should do. Or maybe I have been doing things that probably aren't wise for me to do. But instead of leaning into Jesus when those things happen and trying to move closer to Him, I'll drift away from Him. Because that's easier. And when I do that, I put all that good that He wants to give me just out of reach. And what's helped me over the years is to remember that Jesus knew that I was going to do all of that. He knew about all of that. He knew exactly who He was giving His life for when He died for me. And He knows exactly who He was giving His life for when He died for each one of you. But He did it anyway. And He'd do it again. I remember a story a pastor told a while back. I don't remember all the details, but he was talking about a real dry season in his life. He wasn't seeing a lot of fruit in his ministry. His church was having some hard times. And he confided in a good friend of his that he felt like he was letting God down. And his friend told him, "That's funny. I didn't realize you were holding Him up." That is so true, y'all. That is so true. The proper response to the gospel is repentance and faith. That's it. That's it. You are not expected to be a super Christian who tucks their cape into their pants and walks through life with bullets bouncing off, okay? No one expects that of you. Repentance and faith every day. And every day, repentance and faith. If you meet each day with repentance and faith, and you do your best to stay close to Jesus that day, and then the next day you get up and you do all of that again, then over time your bad days and your bad moments are going to be less and less, and your good days and your good moments are going to be more and more. But it's not because you'll eventually stop sinning, okay? It's not because you'll eventually figure things out, because you won't. It's because you'll learn to hate your sin. And you might be thinking, "But Mike, I already hate my sin." That's not what I mean. What I mean is you will despise your sin to the point that you'll do whatever you have to put it to death. That's the language Paul uses. That's how serious this is. And this intense hatred for sin will continue to grow because your love for Jesus will continue to grow. If every day you're moving closer and closer to Him through repentance and faith. So when we do sin, we repent. We don't just say we're sorry. Apology and repentance are not the same thing. You have to turn from sin. You have to move away from that sin. But please don't ever think that because you lost a fight with sin, Jesus is somehow disappointed or regrets what He did for you. Because that will never happen. Jesus knew exactly who He was giving His life for. Okay, enough of that. John 14. Chapters 14 through 17 of John's gospel, these are the last hours of Jesus' life as a free man, okay? He gets arrested in chapter 18. Chapter 13 is when Jesus gets up from the dinner table and He washes His disciples' feet. Y'all remember that story? It's when He gives them the new commandment that they are to love one another the same way that He has loved them. There's no way they could fully understand the depth of that statement. And toward the end of chapter 14, Jesus tells His friends, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Now, I just want us to keep in mind, Jesus is hours away from arrest, torture, public humiliation, and death. And He says that. Why would He do that? Why is that what's on His mind in that moment? I think it's because that's why He came. He came to give us peace. He came to bring shalom. He came to bring peace with God, peace with others, and very important, y'all, peace with ourselves. The world's peace can't do that. But Jesus' peace can. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Because Jesus' peace is a heart untroubled and a heart unafraid. You see, anguish may have crept into Jesus' mind, but doubt never did. His mind might have been anxious about what was to come, but his heart was steady. Because in his heart, he had peace. And that's the peace he still offers to anyone who will turn from their sin and follow him. Because verse 33 of chapter 16 still applies. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So peace with God is the first step. Okay, without that, peace with others is hard to reach, and peace with ourselves is pretty much impossible. Because in order for Jesus to give us His peace, He has to give us Himself. Right? He has to give us Himself. It's like our friend Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, that Jesus Himself is our peace. We don't get His peace without Him. He's the one who breaks down those walls of hostility that Paul was talking about. We will never have edifying and God-honoring relationships unless we're willing to get off the throne of our lives and let Jesus take His rightful place. And y'all, there are so many of us today who want Jesus' peace, but we don't want His lordship. We want Him to save us, save our kids, give us nice things and good health, but we want Him to stay out of our chair. The throne is ours. Of course, we never say that, but our choices and our actions prove that. But without Jesus at the center, on the throne, you and your spouse might be cozy roommates, but you will not be covenant partners. It's just not going to happen. Without Jesus at the center, your kids will follow Jesus as long as your threats are still convincing. But once they're too old to spank and they're too grown to lecture, there's a pretty good chance that they're going to choose to follow someone else. Because to them, Jesus was always just an idea. He was never their peace. We chase other things and we pursue other people because we believe that happiness can be found in people or things, not understanding that happiness is really found in peace. And just like hope, peace is a person. It's the same person. You don't want happiness. You want peace. You can turn peace into happiness anytime you choose to. That's what the heavenly host told those terrified shepherds in Luke 2, in verse 14. They lit up the sky, just like the king star we talked about last week, and they told the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." So if we work that backwards, peace with God leads to peace among people. And when shalom is restored, all glory goes to God. You know, this can be a hard time of year for a lot of folks for different reasons. For some, it reminds them of what they've lost or maybe who they've lost. And that pain and that hurt that stays buried most of the year seems to find its way back to the surface during the holidays. And for others, this time of year stirs up those fears and those insecurities that maybe they never will have that Hallmark movie type of family or a community of friends that they can really do life with. Or maybe they'll never be able to make an impact or do something meaningful with their life. Well, that first group needs peace. They need hope-filled, lasting peace. And that second group needs peace. They need hope-filled, lasting peace. And the only one who offers that freely is the Prince of Peace. And His peace, according to Isaiah, is a peace that will have no end. It's a peace that Jesus offers freely. His peace He gives to us. So let not your heart be troubled, nor let them be afraid. If you need to reach up to Him this morning, I pray you will do that, because He loves you so much and He wants to give you His peace. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank You for peace. This second week of the Advent season, we remember and we celebrate that, Jesus, You came to give us peace. Peace with God, peace with others, peace with ourselves. You came to establish what sin broke all those ages ago. And Jesus, You're doing that. You are restoring, You're renewing, You're rebuilding. You don't destroy, because then Satan wins. You renew, You restore, You rebuild. Thank You, Jesus, that You didn't just say, forget about all of us, we'll start over. You came to renew us and give us peace, to establish peace, to bring shalom back into the world and into our lives. We thank You for that, Jesus. And we pray as we move closer to Christmas morning, we would be mindful of the hope that You brought us and the peace that You brought with You. And You offer it freely, God. All we have to do is come to You, turn from our sin, receive You as Savior and Lord, and we can have Your peace. And I pray, God, that we would always be looking to grow closer to You through repentance and faith. And I just pray now, Lord, as we sing this last song, that You would be pleased with this offering. I pray, God, that You have been pleased with everything that's happened here this morning, because we're here for You. We love You. We thank You, Jesus, for loving us first. And it's in Your beautiful name we pray together. Amen.